dear Lord God would so favour us, I would draw your attention to the 12th verse in the general epistle of James, the first chapter of James, the 12th verse. Much needing the power and blessing of the Holy Spirit and the prayers of the godly, we would venture to speak a few things from the words which we feel that the dear Lord God has laid upon us to bring before you, dear people, here today. How often it is with the dear Lord's servants, as it must be, that they would turn from the words which the Lord lays upon them to seek something that perhaps would be a little easier, a little more attractive. But if we come rightly under the blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary this morning, we must be faithful. For God is faithful, and with him there is neither shadow of turning. But with us we are changeable creatures, and we do need that blessed Spirit of God granted to us, that we may sit and try the spirits and to know that which cometh from God. We are so apt to listen to this and that and the dictates of our own sinful heart, and we believe it's easy to be deluded and to think it's from God, when our own pride and the spirit of a wicked heart is working within us. But having been cut down and separated and knowing the power of the Almighty, those of you will know the necessity of an honest heart. Oh, to be honest. You see, the time's coming when we must yield our breath to God, and not one of us have anything to rest on in ourselves but that which the Holy Ghost has given us. You see, everything must be tried, and all sin and flesh must be burned up that's from our nature. Only that which comes from God will endure. So if we are favoured to look at these words, we could look at them one by one. We would not just rush through the text and think, well, that's just another text, but the solemnity. And when we think of the dear saints of God that have come and gone from the place of the holy, how they were on the stretch for better things, don't we want to be numbered amongst them who through faith and patience now inherit the promises? Or are we satisfied with a mere form of religion, coming in and out in our Sunday suits, perhaps coming out once or twice in the week, so happy, go home, can quote the text, the next day is forgotten? Nothing in it, just a head knowledge of religion. But you see, we've got to die and we've got to come before the Holy God, and we've got to give an account of the deeds done in the body. Doesn't it make you tremble? Or are you amongst those that are happy that endure? For we read in this book of James, behold, we count them happy which endure. And all to be enduring Christians, to have a Holy Ghost religion, to be filled with the Spirit, and to mourn when we do not have the grace of God to that spirit of contentment within. For when the Holy Ghost blesses, you know what he'll do? He'll leave behind an aching void. Oh, he will. The aching void in the heart without Christ. But with him, you can endure all things. So we read here, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You see, the wicked know not anything. They are bent on this life. Solemn, isn't it? Oh, to be delivered from the forms of religion and yet be numbered with the wicked. Oh, we do want to be separated, don't we? For we cannot call one moment our own. Some of you, perhaps, with myself, have had those solemn warnings. You say, well, I'm young, I've got about 40 years in front of me. But have we? Those of us that have got loved ones gone into eternity in a moment. We do want to impress upon our hearers the solemnity of having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. We want to be found amongst them who live under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Those of you, dear hearts, that know the power and joy of the Holy Spirit, for there's no joy on earth in the heart of a sinner that can compare to the joy that the Holy Spirit brings, even in a word of reproof. Oh, yes, a word of reproof, because you'll feel so sweetly drawn back to see the Holy Spirit. You may wander for a time, but where there's the real work of Christ, you'll be drawn back. You won't be left to wander off for long. There's so much to come and mourn over in our walk and our conversation and in our profession. Why, our very walk is our profession, isn't it? Do they look on you and say, a godly man? Or do they look on you and say, well, he's different Sundays. In the week, he's quite good, but Sundays you can't get near him. Or do they say, he's a godly man. He walks his religion. Oh, it's nice. And I remember as a little child, we heard mention about the war, didn't we? And we've been so wonderfully delivered. You think what that means? God of all grace watching over us. We would remember the families that are bereaved, the dear young men that laid down their lives. Which brings us to that one precious foundation. But may the dear Lord help us to look into that a little later. But when we think of the dear ones, young men, in the bloom of their age, gone off to war, and here we are we thankful? For the most part, we're not. We're so complacent. We take so much for granted. We've got the house of God. We've got our liberties. But we take it for granted. How many of you, dear hearts, have been down on your knees this morning, prayed for a blessing in the house of God, prayed to be kept, prayed to have His Spirit in your heart, prayed with the psalmist, show me a token for good. Do you need a token? Do you need to know that you're in the way that leads to eternal life? Or do you just pray that it might be another Sunday, the minister might be helped? If only we can get through to Monday and we can get back and enjoy those things that take our heart. Or are you separated? Are you pursuing to that narrow path? Are you desiring to be found in it so that you'll be safe for time? And for eternity. Blessed. Blessed, isn't it? We read, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Or are you not tempted? Do we have to go through life so happy with all that we've accumulated? If only we could expand a bit more. If only we could just have that. Or if we could just have that. And have religion so that we're happy. Or does the Lord separate you so that you don't find rest or peace in anything, only in Him? People might look at you and they say, well, He never seems content with anything. You can't be content in the earth, can you, dear heart? It's Christ, isn't it? It's to be prepared for eternity. If the dear Lord has begun that work of grace, why, you can't live without Him, can you? It must be from His fullness that you're supplied. Nothing short of His grace will do a poor heart any good. And with you, dear young ones, bringing up your families, don't you look on the people of God? Don't you think, if only I had grace like they've got? Or are you happy not wanting to know? Or are you on the very stretch? when you hear the gospel and the dear Lord's servants breaking the bread of life to poor needy sinners, does your heart go on the stretch to enjoy the favors that the people of God enjoy? You see, it's rather wonderful that the vilest of sinners, and when we look back through the history, not that we're given to much reading, but if you're favoured to read a little of the autobiographies of some of the dear old saints, one or two perhaps we've read, oh, where they had a change of heart, what rejoicing it gave them, a real change of heart. Beautiful, that is, to be found in the first word of the text, blessed. There are several ways we can be blessed, for the dear Lord will bless us with a law work, though painful. And you might say, well, how shall we know that we're under the law? When shall we know that we're delivered? When the arrow goes in. That is wonderful, painful work. But I say wonderful because, you see, without this, there'll never be prosperity in Zion. When the dear hearts come with an arrow in them, when they mingle amongst the people of God and they find no comfort anywhere on earth, when they must have the healing balm. You see, the more you try to pull an arrow out, the more damage it does. And so, you see, it's only fit work for the Holy Spirit of God, that where he sends an arrow, isn't that blessed work? Don't some of you older ones pray, if you've not got it yourself, that you see it in all the young, that their ears may be bored to the doorpost as it was in ancient times, that there might be a godly increase, that all your dear ones will be numbered amongst the elect. We're so complacent. We come in and out, we have a good service, and it does us good, and it lasts about 5 minutes. But where there's a real conviction of sin, oh, we've got the pain and the sorrow, and we must have for this malady the sweet remedy. And we can't come there all at once. But so, you see, it is a blessing, even in early life, to be cut down. Not cut off, because if we were cut off, we would have been in the pit, dig for the wicked. But to be cut down. This is lovely work, because, you see, the people of God look on and see the work of grace. A poor sinner cut down, nowhere to hide. That'll make you hate self, sinful self, when you feel the eye of God looking over you, not just for 5 minutes, but day and night. Wake up in the night and find that you're a sinner before God. You see, in these days when the roads are so full that in a moment, you see, poor souls step off the pavement and are gone into eternity. And we cannot keep ourselves, we do not know. In the old days when we were boys, you see, they used to have horse and carts and things were much slower. And they used to go down into the fields. Dear old souls used to pray by their wagons. Not all, because there were the ungodly. But we live in such a different age, but oh, to be found amongst the blessed. You see, time is short for the best of us. Whether we're 80, it's not long, is it? You look back over 80 years, does it seem a long time? You say, well, I wonder what I've done with my life. This will make you flee to the refuge, won't it? Oh, to have that work of grace. Dear Lord, if it's not in my heart, do begin that work of grace, heavenly grace. You see, there's a better country, there are better things for the children of God. We want that right beginning. We want a real beginning. Some of you, dear hearts, might be coming back to me and say, I believe I knew that. I walked in that, afraid to get out of bed, afraid to get into bed. When anybody called you, frightened, wasn't? See, we don't hear much of that these days. You see, we often hear free and sovereign grace, but oh, the condemning power to be made right for God. It's His work, His blessed Spirit. You'll want to bear witness that He's begun with you, that you have got the blessed Spirit of God. It's easy enough to take things, isn't it? You see, we promise our children, do we not? Perhaps the godly don't, they won't permit it. But you hear people promise their children, if only they do this or that, we'll give you this or we'll give you that. You see, isn't it solemn days we live in? We used to have correction, and we weren't promised this or that. If we didn't behave, it was up to bed. And so you see, the dear Lord corrects His dear children. And it's so lovely to have that heavenly discipline. And so you see, this is where the dear Lord begins with His dear children, with heavenly discipline. And He brings them under the law. And they realize then that there is a heaven and a hell. The dear Lord won't promise you everything and say, if only you do this, I'll give you that. No, no, that's how the earth's got. Families have got like that. They call a child and it's disobedient and they say, we'll put you to bed. But does it happen? No, the child's still naughty and disobedient. So the parents don't mean what they say, but God means what He says. And so you see, when He cuts a soul down, because He has sweet favours ahead for them. But you see, you must have a right beginning. You want to be found in this text. Blessed is the man. That man doesn't mean the male, it means all of us. Blessed is the man. The ladies are not left out. Blessed is the man. So you see, and we have many temptations in the earth, but we read, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. But you see, it's to the children of God. Blessed are the children of God. We read that the dear Lord Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You see, it's not to all and sundry. The word of God is to His dear children. It doesn't mean to say any are excluded that come seeking mercy. But it doesn't mean that you can just hand out religion in the world like they do. Very solemn, isn't it? You know, they have these great revivals and great meetings. Hand out religion. Say that you can take home the Lord Jesus. But to the hungry soul, that will never do. Where the dear Lord has planted this grace, it'll never do to hear somebody say, take home the Lord Jesus. We want to, those of us here that are quickened by His Spirit, we want to take home the dear Lord Jesus. We want to hold Him in our breast and never let Him go. But we do for those little seasons. There are little seasons to these that are blessed when He'll make Himself sweet in His discoveries, because He's so precious to the living family. When the dear souls that have come under the law, quickened by the Spirit of God and made to roar for forgiveness, made to suffer that disquietness of heart, when they feel that they're lost forever, that they'll perish, if anybody said to them, well, you're safe in the covenant. Why, it would be like a foreign language. They wouldn't understand it. See, God must bring them there. The Spirit of the Lord does His own work. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know how and I wouldn't be too critical, not in that sense. I haven't come here to criticize the world. But how do they get comfort when the poor child of God is in those experiences of tossed up and down like the locust, when they have tribulation and suffering? You see, you have the throne of grace that you can go to. You have that dear refuge that you can flee to. You have the comfort from time to time of hearing his dear voice. Why, the lower you get, when you're blessed, he'll whisper those sweet, beautiful, beautiful sentences into your soul. It is on those that the dear family of God live, isn't it? Your soul hangs upon his promises, doesn't it? If only you can get low enough to hear his promises, to hear his dear voice, to hear his love made known. Why, sometimes he hides the purpose of his grace, to make them better known. Sometimes he's silent for merciful ends, so that you should keep going again to him. But blessed is the man. And so you see, when you have known the blessing of God that maketh rich, and to everyone that comes under the law, for we must solemnly declare that if we live and die under the law, we shall never reach heaven. You see, Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. He'll bring his dear souls under a law work to see his glory. So you see, if you're left under the law, you're without any comfort, aren't you? Because there's no comfort under the law. Under the law, we must do something. But under grace, you see, it's a done, it's a finished work. And so we want to know that, don't we? To be delivered. But to be delivered from a law work brought under grace. Why? That's the beginnings of heaven, isn't it? And then you see, having known that, having known these temptations and trials, come in and out of the house of God and feel left out of the secret. Perhaps for a long time come in and out, no comfort. The people of God feasting upon grace. And there's a poor heart under the law, no comfort, only condemnation. But you see, I believe, and we firmly believe, that where the Lord has planted grace, a dear heart one day will be brought out into such liberty. And oh, the liberty of the sons of God. But you see, there are these temptations to pass through. But also, there are the temptations to the living family that perhaps have known a law work, been brought out under grace, and enjoyed that sweet season of love and forgiveness. And then, when the dear Lord withdraws himself, the days of darkness are many, the days of temptation are strong. Looking back perhaps 20 years, you feel, if only I could have a sip of those days when the Lord was with me, and like dear Job declared, when the candle of the Lord shined upon me. Oh, those happy days when we held Christ in our heart and would not let him go, perhaps days and nights together, the joy of the Lord. It was so precious, his forgiving love. Have you ever known, dear heart, what it was under the sweet days of espousals, not to even want your meals, when you felt so contented with that heavenly, gracious love, that you went from day unto day, not knowing what day of the week it was, when his love was sweet and precious, when you didn't want any food and perhaps didn't want anyone to speak to you, because of the anointings of the Spirit. These are blessings, aren't they? These are the blessings that he refers to in the text. Blessed is the man. Oh, happy days. But oh, the trials. The days of darkness. Did not dear Job say, oh, that I were cut off before the days of darkness? You see, there is a real walking out, isn't there, with the family of God. It's not all joy to heaven, is it, as we once thought. Under his pardoning love, we thought we could endure all things. Temptations and sufferings, into hospital, the pain, it was all counted joy because of the love of Christ shed abroad in our heart, we never thought there would be those mountain experiences of difficulty. There's such a thing as walking on the mountain top of His love. But when there are those mountains before us, and we have to groan, "Oh, who art thou, O great mountain?" And then to know His whispers before Zerubbabel, "Thou shalt become a plague." Oh, the tossing up and down to the dear children of God. But we read, "Blessed is the man that endureth." Oh, the pain sometimes that you're brought into by affliction. You know not how to endure, do you? And those far off days when you could, when you feel the dear Lord is withdrawn, when He hides Himself. And like I said, He hides Himself to make it better now. We would have our healing in a few moments, wouldn't we? We wouldn't go in pain for a night. But you see, when it's sanctified, and when we are brought to see and to taste and to know His sufferings for us, when through the blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit there's a little revival in the heart, when we're shown a little that our sufferings are nothing to what the dear Lord suffered for us, and when you get a little glimpse of His sufferings and He whispers to you, "Yes, my dear child, it was for you, so that you're revived." And for a few moments you'll be able to say with the hymn writer, "Yes, I can easily all things endure." And so the dear Lord lays these things on us to teach us, to bring us out nearer the kingdom, to make that grace of His in us shine more and more unto the perfect day. Dear heart, you'll hold on, won't you? You'll hold on if He set that beauty before you. Heaven at last. We must taste these trials. We must go through these temptations. We want to be tried, don't we? We've asked the dear Lord that we could grow in grace. And then when He brings us into these things, isn't there grace tried? But oh, when He brings us out nearer the kingdom, when He tells us that these trials are not in anger, when the suffering is not in anger, but in His and from His dear covenant love, that covenant of grace. You want to be under the covenant of grace, don't you? Not under a covenant of works, but under grace. So that heaven is a divine reality. You're looking for it, aren't you? Your heart's set upon it. You're on the stretch, aren't you, sometimes? Dear Lord, prepare me for that time. Prepare me to be with Thee. Because Thou hast given us little taste, sweet foretaste of heaven. Sweet blessings that He's laid up for His dear family. And so, you see, we've got to pass through the text to be found in it. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. We read of temptation in different parts of the scriptures. But you see, sometimes the dear Lord will leave us for a season. And we look on the things of others and we can perhaps sympathise in our small way. But you see, the dear Lord will bring us, if we're amongst that living family, for those sharp reminders. It's not enough to be sympathetic 40 years ago. No, you'll want that life of godliness within you now, daily and hourly, so that you're sympathising with the living family of God. And that's why the dear Lord keeps showing us these things, isn't it? To teach us. To bring us out nearer the kingdom and to be made more like Him, our dear, once suffering Redeemer. We can't talk of these things with empty notion, but we do pray that we might be blessed with a feeling heart. we would feel after the dear Lord Jesus. Because you see, although the dear Lord is not hanging upon the cross, suffering now, and yet you see, to the living family, they want to know those divine heavenly realities. For the dear Lord walked in everything, temptations and sorrows and sufferings, so that he could succor his dear children. And by the blessed power of the Spirit and the preaching of the gospel, these things are made known. I used to think, as I sat in chapel as a little lad, how could we enter into the sufferings of Christ when we heard the dear old ministers tracing it out? Not that there was anything in me in those days, I mean, just childlike, just perhaps hearing the word of the minister. But when you think, when you're brought into sufferings and it's sanctified, oh, the temptation, until it's sanctified. Have you ever asked yourself and got down under the bedclothes in the hospital with no sweet sense of forgiveness, no blessings in your heart in those early days? Did you have to hide under the bedclothes and think if you never went out from the hospital but went to eternity, what would become of you? Oh, the reality of those things and the reality of those days. But blessed be his dear name when he makes himself known, when he draws near, sheds his love in your heart, when you see in him, in his sufferings, on such love my soul still ponders, such love to sinful me. Oh, the preciousness of the dear Lord Jesus. And when he says, make it plain, that they may run that readeth it. How we want you, dear hearts, to know. And I believe many dear praying hearts amongst us here, in this dear house of God. One day you'll be crowned at home. One day to see the dear Lord. Oh, you'll know then what he passed through to redeem you. Oh, that redeeming love. Isn't it wonderful? These things, when made known in the heart, seem almost too good for words. Too good to put into words, aren't they? His redeeming love, the precious blood shed. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So you see, it must be through the precious shed blood, redeeming love. And the dear Lord so lovingly, so sweetly gave that precious life that the vilest of sinners, not good people, but the vilest of sinners, redemption should find. To know his redeeming love, oh, it makes you feel that he's more precious, doesn't it? Jesus in the sinner's place. Sinners deserving hell, deserving to be cut off forever, redeemed by his precious blood. Found amongst this first clause, blessed is the man. So you see, with that you'll endure this temptation. This is why the dear Lord Jesus makes himself precious, so that we're able to endure temptation. We could speak of temptation, but there's not much profit in that. The profit is in him who has endured for us. Oh, if we could see the dear Lord and a poor heart that feels burdened by sin and feels, if only they could see the dear Lord, if only they could have the sweet witness that he had died for them. You see, you can't give yourself the work of grace, can you? It must come down from his fullness. And this is what I would ever try to declare. You see, it's one thing to say, give yourself. But it's another thing when he gives himself. The beauty of it, free and sovereign grace. When he gives himself. When he comes into your heart, dear soul. and you won't want anything else. You have your precious Jesus. And you never think then, when you have Christ, perhaps it never even occurs to you that you've got to pass through days of temptation, fierce temptation. But if we are favoured to come again this afternoon, we will look into these things if the dear Lord helps us. If the dear Lord helps me, I'll read the text and have done for this morning. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Amen.
Our concluding hymn this morning is number 351 to the tune Billing 849. The sinner that by precious faith has felt his sins forgiven is from that moment passed from death and sealed an heir of heaven. Though thousand snares enclose his feet, not one shall hold him fast. Whatever dangers he may meet, he shall get safe at last. 351.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship and communion of